There is a handout that has gone around. If you do not have a copy of the handout, raise your hand. There's a few left. And we are going to be working around tables today. So, gather up and work with a group of people. You know, try to see so you're not on your own. Unless you think, you know what, this is an opportunity for me to be my wife and just work with her. Whatever you want to do. But gather up in the tables. We'll be working together today. Three more handouts if you need them. Bob, you need a handout? Got one? Okay. I'll leave these here if someone needs them. Okay, then you have a handout there. Last week we talked about what is the gospel. We just defined it a little bit as the good news, and that our authority is God's Word. We talked about the good news and God's Word. And then we went to Romans chapter 4. So first, what is the gospel? It's good news. What is our authority? God's Word. That's just a review. And we went to Romans chapter 1, verses 4, and really saw how Paul unpacked that gospel in those first four chapters. And we found that there were four questions that really need always to be answered in our presentation of the gospel, and that is, number one, who made us and to whom are we accountable? Number two, what is our problem? Are we in trouble and why? And then third, what is God's solution to that problem? What is God's solution to that problem, and how has He acted to save us from it? And then the final question that came out of Romans chapter 1 through 4 was this: how do I, right here, right now, this day, this moment, how do I come to be included in that great salvation? Why is this good news for me? So, if you're looking for a summary outline of how you can begin to learn to share the gospel, the summary of that was this. We start with the bad news. We start with the bad news. And we talk about who is God and who is man. So, God and man. God being our creator, and that, yeah, we owe Him everything. So, who is God? We talk about His characteristics and all that. We're going to get into this, but who is God? Who is man? And specifically, sin. The doctrine of sin. Mankind as a sinner. So, who is man? And incidentally, men, we have a men's fellowship tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. where we're going to be talking about what is sin. It was great. We had a great discussion. There were just a few men that came yesterday, but there'll be more that come tomorrow. It'll be well worth it. It is a preparation and understanding of the gospel. If we don't understand sin, we won't rightly understand the good news either. And then, so the good news then is, who is Christ, Christ Jesus, who is Christ, and what is response? So, bad news, God, man. Good news, Christ, response. Okay? Bad news, God, man. Who is God? Who is man? Good news, Christ, response. Now, I'm a teacher, so I'm going to teach. I want you to flip that paper you're writing on over right now, and I want you to write that out in the margins. I want you to write out that summary of the gospel by heart. Let's see if you have it down. Write it out. Do it. Write it out. You get an F for the day if you don't do it. Write out that summary of the gospel and see if you have it down from last week for practice. Because we're going to commit this to memory so that we can share the gospel better. Now, if you need to peek once more and lock it in your short term, do it. And then practice writing it down with short term. So do that for a minute. Then we're going to pray and we're going to get into new material. Okay? Now, unfortunately, the other side of that has the outline for you, so don't look at all of that. Yeah, you need a separate sheet of paper for this, but I want us to learn how to share the gospel. It's going to take work. There is now going to be homework fairly soon in this class. And we're going to teach and we're going to dig and we're going to learn how to share the gospel. Okay? All right, let's pray and then we're going to get into some passages and work on around our tables this morning and then discuss. Okay, let's pray together. Father, we praise you for the gospel. Father, in light of a sermon on one of the commands of Scripture, in light of a sermon where we deal with a command, fathers, do not exasperate your children. We can tend to forget the gospel, or may we not do that. The only way that we can obey your commands, to obey you, is to know that Christ has already obeyed for us perfectly, and we are hidden in his righteousness and fully forgiven. Lord, that is the good news of this gospel. We long to share that. We long to understand it more. Please help us today to see that this gospel outline that we're using indeed is the message of the apostles as we look at some passages in the New Testament. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. For the next bit of time, we're going to work around tables. Let's see here. Hey, Mike. Hey, boys. Do you guys mind coming up and working with Paul and Sam? Just if you're okay with that, I think they'd enjoy that, and it would be good to have you work with them. All right. What we're gonna do? That'll make us 1, 2, 3, 4. Good. 6 tables. That's what I was hoping for. We have 6 tables here. We've got some passages that are written on your handout. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to assign a passage to each table, and you're going to primarily be responsible to read that passage, and I want you to dig through your passage and see how, who is God, who is man and sin, Christ and response are part of that passage. Now understand that in your passage, one part might be emphasized more than the other. One part might be implied and not stated explicitly. That's okay. Sometimes Paul is talking to the Jews who already know about Creator God, and some of it's already in there. Sometimes he talks to Gentiles who have no idea, and he starts right at creation. But in any event, I want you to look carefully to see how these 4 aspects of the gospel are in these passages. And then you'll begin to see it everywhere, and you'll get excited that this indeed is an outline that the apostles have. This is what they're trying to get across. And now whatever passage you go to, whether even if it's the Old Testament, you can share these truths from that passage as a starting point. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 15. Acts chapter 3, 18 and 19. Acts chapter 17, 22 through 34. Acts chapter 10. Your guys are letter C. Acts chapter 10, 39. Luke 18. You guys are going to go over it.
Yeah.
Okay. Luke 18. And
my favorite. Best for last.
1 Thessalonians 1, 9, and 10. Now, you're only going to need probably 10 minutes to do your passage, but I just want to make sure each table does that passage because you're going to lead the discussion for that passage. I'll be asking you for feedback. However, when you're done, tables, with your passage, I want you to see how many you can get through. Okay? So when you're done, get on to as many as you can, but don't worry if you don't get it through them all. Okay? All right, go for it. Any questions about what we're doing? Who is God? Look for who is God, man, Christ, and response, and fill it in right there.
Received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures,
and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12.
Okay, good. All right, now, this is a pretty definitive passage on the Gospel, but yet it was quite a hard passage to find all four components explicitly stated. Pastor Dan preached on this passage and showed these four components in his message, but if you remembered it, great. Otherwise, listen to that message, and it really helps us with the Gospel. What did you guys find? Where was God in that passage?
That was the difficult part.
Yeah, that was hard. What do you think?
My thought was that it was in verse 2, which you are being saved.
Okay, by which also you are saved. So what's the implication?
We owe him our obedience, so we're disobedient.
Right, we have need of being saved from something. It begs the question, we need to be saved from what? And, of course, in the context in Corinthians, it makes it clear, but we are saved from God's righteous, from God Himself and His just judgment. So it implies there's obedience, it implies transgression, it's all implied there. Good, that's the hard one. How about man, the doctrine of man?
He's
disobedient. He needs saving. And then verse 3, saved from what? Verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 15. Yeah, saved from our sins. So it's definitely there. Who is man is also about sin. If you're wondering about who is man, man's a sinner. And that's what you're trying to show under that category. And so, if Christ died for our sins, that gives a platform for understanding who is man. Okay, and then the last two are pretty easy. Well, at least three. Actually, only number 3 is easy in your passage. Christ. I mean, the gospel is there. Christ died for our sins. He's buried. He rose from the dead. Okay, what about the response, though, guys? That was a hard one in your passage. Sorry about 3 of them being implied. What did you find for a response?
Hold fast.
Good.
Believe, yeah.
Very good. And so, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 15. Made known the gospel. I preached it to you. And what did they do? They received it. They received it. They stand in it. They hold fast. Oh, I love these. Write those words down. Talk about what is faith? What is belief? Those three words are great descriptors of what belief is. Receiving, holding fast, standing firm. Okay, good. So that's the response, to believe, to hold fast the word. Okay, good. Who had Acts chapter 3, 18 and 19? Was that you guys? Okay. Acts 3. And for the sake of the recording, let me go ahead and read it for you, and then I'll ask you guys the question. Acts 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 18. Okay, I'll start in verse 17. And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your rulers also did, but the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Therefore, repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus, the Christ appointed for you. Now, there's some hard things to understand in that passage, but let's not go there. Where do you find the four components of the gospel there? Okay, what about God? Where do you see God in that passage?
He's omniscient.
Good, he's all-knowing.
Sovereign.
He's sovereign.
Promise-keeper.
He's the promise keeper. He's a God who speaks through his word. Yeah, he foretells. He announces. So God is driving all of this in Acts chapter 3. And by the way, we must what? We must repent and return. Return where? Back to God, which gives you an opportunity to say if you have to return to Him, then you're far away from Him. But God is definitely in focus there. How about man? Where's the phrase or what's happening there?
The decision maker.
Okay, man is the decision maker.
He has the responsibility to respond.
He has the responsibility. Okay, man has the responsibility to respond. But remember, who is God? Who is man? Before we get to the responsibility part about man, we have to understand who man is. Man is sinful. Where is man's sin in this passage?
Verse 19. Your sins may be wiped away.
Yes. Okay, verse 19. We need our sins wiped out. Wiped away. It's a great metaphor, isn't it? For the need we have. Okay, as man. Okay, where is Christ in this passage?
Suffering Savior.
Yeah, Christ is the suffering Savior. Good. The source of Christ is the source of refreshing. What do you mean by replacement?
He took our place.
Yes, he took our good, a replacement for us. He took our place on the cross. He would suffer. He's the one that God announced beforehand. He's the one appointed for you personally. Although that's the next verse. Okay, and the response, which you already had mentioned, response is to what? Repent and return. Repent and return. Now, we're going to get into this because we're going to take a day on each of these categories to fill this out. You say, why does he talk about return in some verses? Why does he only mention repentance in some verses? Why belief in some verses? Why does Jesus say repent and believe? Hold that thought, but understand that there are many metaphors for what? Faith, receiving, holding fast, standing firm. We're going to see all the different ways the Scriptures speak about the response. And that fills it out, what it actually looks like. So I love the return. Return to me. Repent and return. I did a paper on that Greek word in seminary. I love the word return. Return. Okay, next passage is Acts chapter 10. Who had it? Acts chapter 10, 39 through 43. I'll read it for the recording and then we'll have you guys answer the questions. Acts 10:39. Okay, this is in the middle of a sermon. Peter preaching, Acts 10:39. For we are witnesses of these things. He did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day. And granted that he become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is to us, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Okay, so where were the four components there? How about, let's start with God.
God was the one who raised Christ from the dead.
Good.
And basically, he's also appointed him the judge of everybody.
Good. God raised him from the dead. God predicted him in his scriptures. God appointed him judge. God is all over that passage.
Right.
Good.
And he also commanded them. He still chose certain people to be witnesses to the resurrection and has basically charged them with preaching or being testifying to that fact.
Amen. So God's charged us. He sent Christ into the world. He also sends us. It's amazing. He's all over. Good. How about man and sin? Where's man and sin in that passage?
Verse 39, where he talks about how the Jews killed him, how they killed him, killed Christ by hanging him on a tree.
Good. Yep, the sinfulness of man is right there. Where else?
Well, it's implied that, that we're all going to face a judgment day. So our guilt is implied here.
Amen. Guilt is implied by judgment. Very good. Guilt and sin is implied by judgment. And of course, there's the forgiveness of sins, which is mentioned explicitly. So you've got, Simon talks about, here's an example of it. Then we have it explicit, followed by the implication of judgment. It's all over the place. God's all over the place. man's sin is all over the place. How about Christ? Where is he in this passage? Good. He's the judge. He's the one who died on the cross. He's the one who raised from the grave. He's the one who's become visible. Christ is all over this passage. And finally, our response. Where's the phrase of our response?
Well, at the very end, verse 43, basically points out that the prophets, the writers of the Old Testament and the writings of the Old Testament pointed to the gospel, basically, that everyone who believes in Jesus will receive forgiveness of sins. So I think it's implied that we should do that. I mean, any sane person would want to do that.
Right. Right. Everyone who believes. Good. It's right there. The response is there. Simon?
Yeah, it's implied, too, that we be witnesses, that we preach, and that we testify.
Amen. God uses us to proclaim this message. And we call people to believe. Good. Okay, Acts 17 is a bit unusual and difficult. For the sake of time, we're not going to read the whole passage. So whoever's speaking, if you could read the phrase of that passage. This is Paul preaching at Mars Hill, I think, in front of the Gentiles. So where is God in this passage? Good. God is the creator, and he made everything. And isn't it amazing that these are Gentiles, and he starts where? Right at the beginning. Because they don't have that context that the Jews would have of those things. So he starts right there, and he really emphasizes that part. All right, good. God calls us to worship him. He's the creator. How about man? Right, good. He's insignificant. He has to obey God. He doesn't, and judgment is coming.
He even mentioned dependent on God's independence.
Very good. Because, yeah, every breath comes. I mean, he's dependent. And there's so much there about who is God and who is man. However, it seems to be a bit of slim pickings. So let's talk about that. What did you think about Christ in this passage? In Acts 17. Good. So, Christ is the appointed man whom God has raised from the dead, appointed to judge. Good.
We saw that Paul must have talked about the cross, because he talked about raising from the dead. He didn't say anywhere that he died before that. So it implies that something happened, that this man died, but was raised from the dead.
Good. So it does imply the cross here, but yet the cross doesn't seem to be explicitly mentioned. There's no mention of forgiveness. There's no mention of the cross directly. There's no mention of Jesus' name here. But how did you guys resolve that? When it comes to the response part, what did you put for response? Okay, so repentance, some people mock and some people believed. Wait a minute, he said to repent. But then down here we find people believing. Well, hold that thought, we'll get into that. But see, these words are used like that. We need to talk, we'll talk about how that works. But there is a call here. But I also think we'll hear you more about this. Sometimes we have to think that sometimes we don't get to say everything we'd like to say in one sitting. We'll hear you more about this. What if they heard more about this and then came to believe? You have to understand that Paul emphasizes the bad news here. The good news is there, but I don't think it's as explicit as we'd seen in these other passages. But it's there, as you mentioned. Usually it was God and man was the implied stuff, and it was all about Christ in response. This passage is different, and it just shows us a little bit about how God works sometimes. All right, how about Luke chapter 18, 9 through 14? What about God in that passage? This is the passage of the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. It's a wonderful springboard for the gospel, where the tax collector is self-righteous and he prays, "I thank you, I'm not like that guy over there." And that guy over there was a miserable tax collector who's beating his breast, won't raise his eyes to heaven because he's so ashamed, and says simply, "God, have mercy on me, the sinner." It's an amazing passage. How did you find the gospel in there? What about God in that passage?
Both men address God as authoritative.
Okay.
So they recognize He has authority over men.
God has authority over men. Yep, they're praying to God. Anything else? God must be what? Merciful. If anybody is going to be saved, God must be merciful. He's the just judge and the one who has to have mercy. Right there you have got the tension in the Godhead, as it were. His love and His justice. It's resolved at the cross. Okay, man. How about man? Where's man's sinfulness stated explicitly here? Very good. Man trust in themselves that they are righteous. They are trying to put... That is a good definition of sin, in a sense. It's trying to develop your own righteousness. How about Christ? Where's Christ in that passage?
He's the one speaking.
He's the one speaking.
There's really nothing about the cross, but the effects of the cross are in there.
Okay, what are the effects of the cross? Yeah, isn't it nice that the word justification is used in the Gospels, not just in Paul? Guy goes up, completely locked in sin. He goes down, completely justified before God, righteous and forgiven. And by the way, let me tell you where the cross is here. Okay? God be propitious to me, the sinner. That is a word for propitiation. That is the word of sacrifice. He knows he must be at the temple. He knows only God can cover his sins. It's the old covenant still. It's before the death of Christ. But he knows good and well that he needs a covering for his sins. It's a word of the mercy seat. And it points to the fact of the blood of Christ. And in the blood of Christ, you can have that mercy and we find justification. This is a wonderful springboard. In fact, this is my favorite springboard for the gospel and my own ministry. Yes.
God is the one who's going to have to do that action of propitiating.
Exactly. Completely opposite. I, God, you. It's only you. That's the gospel. And response is to recognize sin, feel the sin, and cry out for mercy to God alone. That's what faith is, isn't it? All right. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10. Let's read this one together and we'll close. 1 Thessalonians. Dan, I'm not there yet. If you're there, can you read it for me, please, brother?
For they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, who He raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come.
That is a wonderful passage about the gospel. How so? Where did you guys find the four components in that passage? Like, about God. Let's start out with God.
The living and true God.
Yes, He's the living and true God. Very good. What else? He's not an idol. There's implications that we're separated from God because people have to turn back to Him. There's implications of worshiping the creation instead of the Creator here. This is packed with that little phrase, living and true God and turning back. How about man? Where's sin and man here?
Worshipping something.
Yeah, worshipping something other than God. That's idolatry, and that's the sin that is put on display here in the heart of mankind, idolatry. How about Christ? It's packed, isn't it? What did you find about Christ here?
He's the one who rescues,
he saves. Amen. He's the rescuer. His death and resurrection is here as the means of that. He came from heaven. He rescues us from the future wrath that's due to sin, which also points that wrath, points to what the penalty for idolatry is. And what's the response here, which I think is my favorite part of this passage? Yeah. Turning from sin to God. That's repentance is turning to God. That's faith. It's one motion. It's turning from sin to God. And to do what? To go walk in your sins, right, guys? Just to live it up because, whoa, praise the Lord, I'm saved? No. To what? To serve and to long for Him, to wait for Him. This is a packed verse. But here's my point today, guys. Everywhere you look in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, you will see the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you will see these four components, either implied or explicitly stated. And this gives us confidence that as we move forward, we are learning a biblical way of sharing the gospel. Okay? And you'll begin to see this in all kinds of passages. I gave you some hard ones. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 10, and it'll be like taking candy from a baby. It's all so obviously laid out. You see? These are some harder ones. So, was this helpful to understand that this is a good approach? Okay, what we're going to do then is we're going to take each of these in 4 weeks. We're going to hit all four of these and really dig in and really deal with some of the issues in our own hearts that are there to understand this. And then we're going to move beyond the propositions into how we actually proclaim it and then how to implement it together as we finish out our evangelism series. Father, we thank You for this great time of studying Your Word together. We pray Your blessing upon our day and upon our week that we would serve You and wait for Your Son until He comes. We thank You. We're thankful for God's grace that will keep us safe until that day when we see Him, that day when we're like Him. And sin is completely gone. We'll pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, you're dismissed. A reminder that next week, though, during CE hour, we will be in a picnic, and I will be handing out discussion questions from the sermon that we'll do for a half hour before we eat. So everyone come on out next week for our picnic. It should be a great time of fellowship.